Take your Bible, if you would, and go to 1 Timothy chapter 5. And it's been a couple weeks because last week we had special activity. Pastor, I think, taught Sunday school class, did a wonderful job. And we've been in the book of 1 Timothy, and we're finishing, trying to finish chapter 4, and we did. And as at all times, if you need the syllabus or the handout, and I don't make a formal handout, it's always available because I type these up and put them in the outline form so that you can have them, as has been our way. But in 1 Timothy, we're going through a doctrinal book for the church, and we were getting ready to enter chapter 5. And we covered some pretty touchy ground for folks. And one of the plagues of the age is folks can tell you what they believe. Most of them can, but they don't know why they believe what they believe. Then lastly, they can't show you in the Scriptures, "Oh, that's just what I've always believed." Well, that's okay till you get, you know, pushed in a little corner someplace and somebody says, "Well, show me that in the Bible." And then when you can't do that, alas, that's why we have class and why we have teaching, so on and so forth. Look, if you would, at 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 1. We'll not go back to chapter 4. We finished up a couple weeks ago on that. But rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren, the elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters with all purity. Honor widows that are widows indeed, but if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. Now, she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. And these things give in charge that they may be blameless. Let me stop there. Father, thank you for this morning, for your word. We're looking forward to this week and these days. And I pray especially for today. Give me utterance to be able to teach your word and speak on behalf of your scripture. Then, Lord, enlighten our minds and our hearts and our ears, especially for the coming sermon, the coming message with Brother Brian. And ask God that you would suit a blessing to each heart and person that walks in as the crowd comes a little later. I pray, God, that if someone's here lost, they could be saved today. In Jesus' name I pray and ask it. Amen. So we see first off, in light of these things, the work of a good minister of Jesus Christ is how C.I. Schofield titles this portion. Not that we have to use all of his titles, but that's pretty good in what we're doing here. We're learning about things in the church, things in Christianity, especially to young preacher, or any preacher, or pastor, or teacher, anybody that handles the Word of God before folks, that they might teach these things. And I like what he said down there, "For that is good and acceptable before God," right there in verse 4. And if we want to do the things that are right, good and acceptable before the Lord, then we teach these things and we stay in these things and we're given to the Scriptures and sound doctrine. And you'll find moving away from doctrine in the Scripture, in Christianity as a whole. You get out and you find the churches don't teach a lot of doctrine anymore. And so hence, in our pews are a lot of folks that's not going to study on their own. And maybe if they do, they'll go on what they learned or heard somebody say, either on TV or family or down at the reunion somewhere. You know, they'll have heard it someplace. But let's look a little closer at this. He says, verse 1, "Rebuke not an elder." And as my manner is, I like to go, when I teach, verse by verse. And I like to go systematically through the Scriptures. And I like to put an emphasis on the words that the Holy Spirit has chosen for the text here. I believe that every word of God is pure. and that we do have the inerrant, infallible Word of God in our 1611 Bible. And so we need to pay attention to the words and make sure we get the definitions to the words. Because if we get the definitions to the words wrong, or we handle the way the English language is put together and don't let the word, the context, define the definition for the word, then we're going to get in trouble with our doctrine and what we believe. You'll find folks believing all kinds of things in churches simply because they don't take that approach to the teaching of the Scripture. So he says, rebuke not an elder. So the first thing, we can deal with rebuke. We know what that is. I don't think anybody has a problem with that. It's not a hard word. And it's to bring against, to confront before, that sort of thing. So rebuke not an elder. The word not and the word and are simply words that are in the English language that we don't have any trouble with at all. Not's pretty self-explanatory. Just don't do it. And is the conjunction to join the thought. But here is, if we outline the sentence there or the phrase, the word elder shows up, and that's the word that causes folks trouble. Oh, I know what an elder is. And that's one of those words in the English language that has more than one definition. And you're right to think that. But now you have to handle that thing in such a way that it doesn't do a misjustice to the Word of God, understanding the definition that's given to that word in the English 1611 and how it's used in the context. And if you don't get that thing right, you won't have your doctrine right. So we need to find out what an elder is. Okay, let's try this. I get my dictionary and I look that thing up and I go over there and I thought, wow, an elder. Huh. And that's a noun. It's used as a noun there. I remember that from 8th grade English. Let's see here. A small tree or shrub with pithy stem, typically having white flowers and bluish black or red berries. Huh? I got it out of the dictionary. It's got to be right. You guys are on to me. That's not the right definition. Now, that's a definition for the word elder. Why? Some of you've drank elderberry wine. Oh, boy. Okay. You know them little red berries that turn purple and you go get them all and gather them all up and put it? Oh, how do you know about that? Now, I don't know. But it's been said that Grandpa Rudisill used to make elderberry wine. But I can assure you that it's not talking about the bush, the tree, or the pithy vine of something growing in the woods. Let's go back. Rule of the English language, context defines terms, so that's not the right definition. Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and younger men as brethren, and we'll develop this a little, but any old person is the common thinking, but as always, not what the Scriptures are necessarily teaching here. Have you heard it said, well, the elders in the church, and you've got to be careful because the person speaking, if they say, okay, all the elder people in the church are going to go first to the line, we've got it because the definition, the food line, the definition defines the term, and so we're using the right definition for our meaning of elders there. You're getting basically kind of an English language and understanding why the Holy Spirit chose the words that He chose. But that's not necessarily how it fits here in this text. And the reason I know that, and we'll develop this as we go, is the word elder is used in two different settings right here in the text that I just read in the first 7 verses. It's used for the older women, and it's also used here for the leaders in the church. Let's develop this a little more. So the basic rule of thumb, if somebody says, well, when all the elders meet back in the prayer room, they're scratching their head and they're thinking, that's probably all the old men in the church and all the old women in the church. Not necessarily so. So watch out. So elder as defined in the normal dictionary, and I'm not even in the 1828 dictionary. I'm just in the Noel Webster dictionary. Defined in the dictionary as an adjective. So let's handle it as an adjective and let's handle it as a noun. It's used here as a noun. but let's handle it both ways. And all those rules to the English language help you to understand why the Holy Spirit uses that word the way He uses it in that place. And hence, it builds strong, could I say this, sound doctrine. Because I've had people come up to me, well, you only asked for the elders back in the room, but all the old men didn't go. That's because that person probably doesn't understand the teaching on the word elders in light of 1 Timothy here or any place where an elder is defined. And I'm going to lay this out. I've got a number of scriptures for you, but stay with me. Defined in the dictionary as an adjective of one or more out of a group of associated people or a greater age. Anybody that's just a little older than somebody else is the general definition of an elder person. We got it. Well, does that fit our context? Rebuke not an elder. It could, but I don't think that's what he had in mind here. But in treat him as a father. So you know he's eliminated right there all femininity. Oh boy, I'm going to get it now. Just talking about those that are fathers. And then somebody's going to say, well, I knew a woman that her husband was gone, so she had to be the father, so it's probably speaking about her. No, you idiot, that ain't what he's talking about. People have all these ideas. You got to be careful. So as defined, there is an adjective. Now, a person of greater age than someone specific. Now, that's a pretty generic definition for the noun elder. So elder here, we can also cover the word elders because the scripture does use the word elders in another place. We know it's not the tree. We know it's not just all the old people in the church. We know it's not the old women and the old men because the old women are addressed in a little bed. But number one, it's somebody specific. So now there's another definition for the word elder, and this is the definition that you want this morning for this place where the Holy Spirit chose the word elder. And this is the definition in your common dictionary. He says, in Christianity, parentheses, or Christendom. And it says, in some Christian traditions, i.e. basically all standard tradition, Eastern Orthodox, Roman Catholics, Anglican, Methodism, they leave Baptists out. And I'm not going to add it. I'll just give you what I got. An elder is an ordained person who usually serves a local church or churches and who has been ordained to a ministry of the word, sacraments, and orders filling the preaching and pastoral offices. That's a common dictionary definition. Now, if you had that dictionary definition and you had the one I first read you about the tree and the berries, and I know you probably like that one the best, it just don't fit the context, but this other one does. And so when he says rebuke not an elder, we can pretty well say from scripture and definition of the English language that he's talking about the ordained, called men of God in the church that handle and teach and preach the word of God. Oh, it's not every old person in the church. You say, oh, well, I just thought when he said all the elders need to, he's talking about me, you, and them. And no. Well, that'd be 90% of our church. Here it's just those that are ordained to preach the Word of God. Let's develop this. If you miss this, you'll miss the doctrinal meaning of the teaching on elders in light of the New Testament here in this place and other places. Most churches do not teach any doctrine, which adds to the confusion of what the Bible actually is teaching. Everybody has an idea. Everybody has an itch. Everybody has an opinion. Everyone has, especially those opinions, on what they believe. Well, we didn't teach like that down where I'm from. And that's why we define the words and the terms and look at it in light of the context and what God was saying. Watch. But the truth of the Scriptures always trumps, remember this, always will trump the opinion. And have an opinion, it don't amount to a hill of beans when it comes to scriptural teaching. Look, if you would, in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 19. We haven't read there. We'll look ahead against. And he says, and against an elder, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. So if somebody wants to come to you, hey, I want to tell you something about Brother Tom. You better get yourself two or three witnesses. And you better make sure what you got. And that just takes the wind out of some of those sails pretty quick. Well, let's just go talk to him and see what he said. Oh, I don't want to do that. Yeah, okay. And you're not supposed to anyway. And it would be a good practice not to bring an accusation to get anybody that's older or older than you. And we call that respecting your elders. And now I'm using the term a little loosely. But doctrinally, I'll take that preacher to task if I want to. You better watch out who you're taking to task. Say, why? Doctrinally speaking, I mean, you better have two witnesses when you go. And I don't mean your opinion, you, me, myself, and I. I mean independent. I don't mean your grandpa, your grandma, your brother, your sister to go with you to back you up. I mean somebody that's unrelated, that has a non-biased look at that thing, and somebody that might understand the Scripture. And then you better have chapter and verse. Elders, 1 Timothy 5:19, and we read that, and two or three witnesses. Look, if you would, take your Bible and go back to Titus, a little book of Titus. Now, Titus was sent by Paul to the island of Crete, and Crete was a Baptist church. Say, how do you know that? Well, they were evil beasts, slow bellies, and liars. Oh, Brother Phil. Well, you thought an elder was a bush, too. Okay, watch out. But in Titus, he sends him to Titus. He sends Titus to Crete. It's an island in the Mediterranean Sea there. And he tells him to stay there. But I want you to notice how he and what he says are very consistent in his teaching. And as he goes down through there in hope, verse 2, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. So there's the promise, and he puts this into perspective. But hath in due time manifest his word through this preaching. There's the preaching, which is committed to me according to the commandments of God and our Savior. To Titus, now it goes on down, trickles down, mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, watch it, and peace. So you see the promise, the preaching, and the peace there that's going with this doctrine. But that's not what I wanted you to see. I wanted you to see, for this cause left I thee in Crete. And by the way, you know what? He stayed in Crete. And once in a while, you just need to see a preacher stay in Crete. Stay where God put you. You say, why? Well, because those people need you, one. And number two, the people that watched you go need to see you stay. And number three, you need to stay to manifest good integrity before the Lord. Now watch. For this cause left I thee in Crete. That wasn't a great place to be. Well, you left him there that thou, watch it, shouldest set in order the things that are wanting and ordained. Here it is, the word ordination, ordained, and the root of that is ordained, of ordination. Ordained elders in every city as I had appointed thee. Now, that doesn't mean every old person. That means somebody ordained to the work and the call and the ministry. He was supposed to make and set up, if you please, a way to teach people, get them saved and teach them, disciple them, and finally see them called to the ministry, if God would call them, ordain them by the Lord and sent out, and he calls them elders. That's just another place it's used with that definition. Take your Bible and go to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, a favorite chapter in the Bible for anyone that reads the New Testament. And here in Scripture 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, be careful, here comes the word again, elders obtained a good report. And you say, well, who's he talking about? He's talking about those God-called men that he goes on to list in Hebrews chapter 11, which there are a number of them. And when he ends up, clear down into that passage, verse 38, of whom the world was not worthy, they wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. These all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. Say, well, who are these elders? Well, nonetheless, they're the God-called men that he lists. I didn't list them all. You can read chapter 11 anytime at your leisure. Ordained elders. Look, if you would, another place people stumble, and this happens a lot, where doctrine is not taught. Take your Bible and go to James chapter 5. James chapter 5. James chapter 5, the scripture says this. In dealing with this, and remember, let's back up and read James chapter 1. Pastor's teaching the book of Hebrews on Wednesday night, and James is probably of the early church there in Acts, and probably the first epistle written, and it would be basically early church oriented, with overturns and overtures through the whole church period, but basically into the early church where you had things going on that we don't have going on today. And I'm going to say something about that. And the book of Hebrews have overturns looking back as to the Hebrews and what they may have to deal with the coming catching away of the saints of God and whatever's left here. So just, you've heard some teaching on that. James, a servant of God, to the Lord Jesus Christ, to the, be careful here, 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. Now, I understand that if it wasn't for the Jew, we wouldn't have a church. I understand if it wasn't for the Jew, God's chosen people, that fly is bothering me, Brother Jeff. That thing is still up here. We owe the Jew gratitude. Salvation is of the Jew. I mean, it's Jewish. This book's a Jewish book. I've got all that. We're grafted in. And I was just reading some devotion time in Isaiah. And he says, you know, when they got out of the will of God and they got off those Israelites and they brought forth grapes. And it says, and they brought forth wild grapes. So we got to be careful. We're the grafted in branch into the root, which is Christ, obviously, John chapter 15. But sometimes if we don't get our doctrine right, we'll be bringing forth wild grapes. Let me give you that verse. He says, watch now. Above all this, I'm in verse 12 of chapter 5. James 5, 12. My brethren, swear not neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea and your nay, nay, lest ye fall into condemnation. Is any among you afflicted? And this is, you know, you've heard people say, we're going to have a James 5 meeting. Be careful now. I'm not against James 5. Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Be careful. Let him call for the elders of the church. Okay, now is he calling for all the bushes that produce the berries that make the wine? No. Is he? I can always hear somebody in the background. It's my mind playing tricks on me. Yeah, that's what it is. No, it's... No, he's calling for the ordained elders, the preachers, and the ordained men of God in that church and that work. That's what he's calling for in the early church. And there were a number of them. And that's where we'd be today. But now today, we've slid away from that. And we just call for all the old men of the church to meet back in the prayer room. And you got the guy chewing, the guy dipping, the guy smoking, and everything else. And can't get victory in his life over this, that, or anything else. And that's not who he's talking about here. He's talking about the guys that have surrendered and that have been ordained of God and called. That's the narrow doctrinal teaching of the word elder. So let them call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, which we've understand and been there a few times. Come on back to 1 Timothy. I gave you James 5:14. We probably ought to check in with the man Peter, he being one of the heroes of the faith that I enjoy and love. But look at 1 Peter chapter 5 also, 1 Peter 5, and watch how he uses the term in verse 1. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, also partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. So the word is used there again probably in connection with those that are called and those men that preach. Look at verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Now there, and again, context defines the word, the term. Be careful. A little common sense, knowledge of the English language go a long way in getting your doctrine straight with the Word of God. So, take your Bible and come to Revelation chapter 4. Let's see how the Scripture uses here. The Holy Spirit uses the word again here in Revelation chapter 4, verse 4. The Bible says, "And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. And they had on their heads crowns of gold." We got 24 elders mentioned there. So who are the? I believe they're the God-called priestly circle that officiates, that are read about in the Old Testament, those 24 positions. People have all kinds of ideas about this. Well, I think it's the 12 apostles and the 12 patriarchs, so on and so forth. That fly is determined. I should not put that molasses honey smell on my hair today. No, I'm just kidding. We need to kill that thing before the preacher gets up here. But in Revelation 4:4, the words used there in conjunction with very important positions and people that are seated. I know that. I won't make any more out of that. I'm not teaching the book of Revelations this morning. But I wanted you to see it. Revelation chapter 4, verse 10. The 24 elders fall down before him and sat on the throne and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." I'd say they're pretty special characters right there, ordained of God, seated there in the heavenly places, giving God the reward. And then Revelation 5:5, Revelation 5:6, Revelation 5:8, Revelation 5:11, Revelation 5:14, Revelation 7:13, Revelation 11:16, 14:13, 19:4. I'm on a time limit this morning. I'm just giving the verses. We're not going to look at them. All in reference to elders in the context of the Christian definition. A lot of scripture on it. All these things. I had another great passage. Take your Bible and go to Acts chapter 20. I've got about 5 minutes. Acts 20. And now we're back into early church. I want to try to focus it on the church. And we're answering the question, what in the world is an elder? I just thought it was any old person in the church. Well, in one context, yes. But when the pastor calls for the elders of the church to meet for prayer, if he's not specific, sometimes he is, he'll say, "I want the pastors and preachers to meet with me for prayer." And that in turn, if we're good on our doctrine, would be the elders of the church. It doesn't really have a lot to do with how old you are. Got it? Because he's teaching this to Timothy. Now be careful. Acts chapter 20, I want you to look at verse 17. The apostle Paul now, coming along from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called... Watch it, what he's calling the elders of the church. Now, we got a lot going on in that verse, so we know it's not the trees down by the river. It's not the berries, and he's not making wine. We know it's not the older women in the church, as we'll see in our text. I won't get there today. The elders of the church, I'll read it all. "And when they were come to him, he said to them, ye know from the first day that I came unto Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you," talking to these elders, "but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house." Let's see if he clears this thing up any. "Terrifying both of the Jews and also the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. And how behold, and now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witness in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel, the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye," who? The elders, "ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Therefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves." Who? The elders. Be careful. "And to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers." So you're pretty clear on the elder he's talking about there are the people that minister to the flock, that feed the sheep, that preach, that are in the position of oversight or pastoral positions. He says, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, and not sparing the flock. We've got to quit there because I'm on a time limit here. Elders, not the bush down by the river, not all the old people in church in this context. But if the pastor now says, I want the elders to go first in the food line, that's everybody. You say, why? Context defines the definition. Okay, let me give you a quote by A.W. Tozer. I love A.W. Tozer. I got many of his books. Of this we may be certain. We cannot continue to ignore God's will as expressed in the Scriptures and expect to secure the aid of God's Holy Spirit. Think about that a minute. You want to read something, make you stop and think a little bit. Read what some of these old men of God had to say. So this morning, hope that'll help you somehow on the elders. And we'll pick up there somewhere next time. So let's have a word of prayer. We'll be dismissed. The pastor's ready. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you for doctrine. Thank you for knowing where we stand and why we stand. Bless our coming service. Bless our money. Bless our church. Bless the folks that come in, the visitors that come, the singing, the songs, the music, and especially now, Lord, the preaching, that you'd anoint the preaching this morning, Lord, that it might be very pleasing unto thee and acceptable unto thee. And Father, we'll be pleased to see you have your way. Bless the baptism and all that is to transpire there this morning. Bless now our pastor, leadership, and this church, Brother Brian, as he speaks. In Jesus' name I pray and ask it. Amen. Good morning. God bless you.